we've been talking about the kingdom of God. When Jesus came, he came preaching the kingdom. Amen. He didn't come preaching something else. He came preaching the kingdom. In Acts, we get into Acts, and the first thing they start preaching is the kingdom. Amen. I don't know where we got off track on how this road that we got on in Acts, because that's where the church got on a road. And somewhere along that road, we got off the road and we started preaching something besides the kingdom. Amen. And so I want to get back. We're kingdom people. And I'll tell you the difference is when you went to school, there was a required class that you had through high school and in grade school. Matter of fact, in grade school, if you didn't take your government course and pass your constitution, you couldn't pass eighth grade when I went to school. And most of you, when you went to school, I don't know if that's still, obviously it's not nearly as important as it once was because people don't know their constitution. Amen? But we knew our constitution and you had to know it to get through. And then you studied government. And there's a reason why you study government and you didn't study the law of the land. Have you ever looked at the law books? You never get through it. You'll never get through it. But you study government so that you could function and operate in this United States as a citizen. You would understand the procedures and the process of how this government operates. Okay? Now you go to church, and we come to church and we learn about the law. But we don't learn about the government. So we get to become Christians, and the first thing that kind of is laid on us is we've got to become perfect. The perfection, the constant trying to do better. Constantly trying to get to a place where we feel like maybe we're pleasing God. And maybe if we're pleasing him, maybe he'll answer my prayers. If I'm praying and I'm not pleasing him, he probably won't answer my prayers. Hello? That's a false statement. He's already pleased with you. We've even gotten into the church thinking that we made a choice for God, and because of that choice, we made it. Listen, you didn't make a choice for God. You didn't find God. That statement, well, I found the Lord back in, you didn't find him. You wouldn't know where to look for him. He's the one that moved on your heart with contrition and a convincing that he wanted you, his love for you. Now, I know we've had some places that we've preached where, you know, that it was more condemnation and coming into the kingdom under those guise of condemnation. And folks, I'm going to tell you, he didn't come to condemn the world, but through him, the world might be saved. So condemnation will not win anybody to the Lord. Condemnation will just cause people to feel bad, and they will feel like maybe I can say I'm sorry, and if I say I'm sorry, maybe we can get this fixed. God's not looking for a sorry. As the comedian said, put your sorry in a sack, mister. He doesn't need your sorry. He's not looking for your sorrow. He's looking for you. He created you in your mother's womb, and he's looking for you. He's wanting to have a relationship with you. And if you think you're going to reach a perfection point where he'll start answering your prayers, you will never reach that place. He said, if you ask me not according to your behavior, not according to whether you're right or wrong, or if you ask me according to, you know, you've been to church every time the doors were open, you've lived a good life, you've taken your communion, you've read your Bible, you've prayed your prayers. Now, if you ask me anything, I'll do that for you because you do all that stuff. He said, if you ask anything according to my word, I will do it. Uh-oh. See, this messes everything up. Because now in this teaching of the kingdom, what I'm going to go into is God's sovereignty. This is a topic that has been so corkscrewed that we have begin to omit God's will according to his sovereignty. We begin to see God's will unavailable because of his sovereignty. God's a sovereign God. And what has happened is out of our experience, we have produced God's sovereignty. We have produced God's sovereignty out of our experience. What do you mean, Pastor? What are you talking about? We have an experience in our bloodline, and we accept certain diseases and certain malfunctions and certain body types and styles and this, that, and the other, and weight. We have all our eyesight, our hair, our all of that. We take that into consideration, and there's just nothing we can do about it because it's just God's sovereignty. It's just the way I'm made. It's just my genealogical pool. It's just the way that it is. There's nothing you can do about it. It's just God's sovereignty. We live to about 80, and boy, that's about it. And it's just God's sovereignty. If he takes me sooner, well, that's just God's sovereignty. If this happens to me or that happens to me, it's just God's sovereignty. I've never seen someone watch Channel 3 at night on Friday and Powerball hit, and somebody won the Powerball, and this Christian, the same Christian that's talking about God's sovereignty, never says, well, they won $300 million. That's just God's sovereignty. Why not? You acquire everything else to God's sovereignty, but you can't acquire anything good happening to God's sovereignty. You never attach that to God's sovereignty. Hello? We always attach God's sovereignty to something horrible, something terrible, something that and that's just God's sovereignty. All the way to the point where we now have days off in the winter because of an act of God. You know who the principality and the powers of the air are? God says who they are. Satan is the principality and power of the air. So was that an act of God, or who was that an act of? Hello? Who's that an act of? Why do we take the terrible things and we always attach to God's sovereignty? Why do we do that? God's judgment. God's this. It's always God's judgment. You know? Hello? Who's the principality and power of the air? Satan is. Folks, this is when you start studying government. And you get out of the law and start studying God's government, and you begin to understand how the kingdom works, how God's kingdom works up in heaven, how God's kingdom works on earth, and how we have authority in between. Even though he may be the prince of it, God is Lord of all, and we are the sons of the Lord of all. Oh boy. Wait a second. Now I'm just like you. hey, if I got a rough day coming up and I'd like to have a few days off and they say there's snow coming, oh, Jesus, send the snow. Let's make it an act of God right here. You know? Hey, come on, you know? But what I'm trying to teach you is the government of God. Because in the government of God, you can live in that. You can't fulfill the law. The Bible said, God said himself, he set the law up because these people came before him and said, we want to know what it takes to please you. Tell us. And we'll do it. It's a pretty strong order, ain't it? It's a pretty big order. I'll give them some grace here because they didn't really know him. And didn't really know what they was asking for. But they stood there, said, Moses, get up there. Find out what God wants us to do, because when we find out what God wants us to do, we'll do it. God says, you really want to know what it takes to please me? Really? All right, then. I'll give you a list of what it takes to please me. And when God got done, they said, well, we can't do that. Exactly. You can't do that. That's why you just keep sacrificing bulls and goats. I got a plan coming. Amen? Watch this. This is really cool. In Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, it says, for unto us is a child born, unto us a son is given. Did you hear that? Unto us. He's come to us, is given to us. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. It didn't say the law. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The Bible says that in the last day, when he begins to saddle up that white horse, that his vesture is dipped in blood and his name is on his side, and it is the Word of God. That is what they call him in heaven. That's why I tell you, Jesus is the Word, and the Word is Jesus. He said it in John. He said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, the only begotten Son. So when God spoke words into existence to create, what he was doing was speaking Jesus. And Jesus went out over the abyss, and then the Spirit touched Jesus and it became manifest. And he showed us that so that we would understand today that when we have Jesus, when he found us and brought us in, his plan for your life is first to deposit his will or his word, to get the word in you. You can say, Jesus is in my heart, Jesus is in my heart, and you don't know any of the word. Jesus is not in your heart. Everything else is in your heart. Jesus is not a metaphor, and he's not a ghost, and he's not some woo inside of you. It is tangible. It is powerful. He is all in all through his word. That's why we get in the word, so that it becomes us. And it becomes us, and we become it. And that's why Paul said, I wish above all things that you would speak the word first. That we would all be speaking the same thing. What? The word. Not the law, but the word. The law came by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus. And that's why he said, he didn't say that the law would be on his shoulders. He said the government would be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace. Did you hear that? His government, the difference is in Christian life, is when you're under the law, you struggle with peace. If you're a child of God and you struggle with peace, it's because you're under the law. You're not operating in the government. You're trying to operate by every jot and tittle. And God already said, no man can do. Here's what he said. If you fulfill the whole law and miss one of them, then you have not fulfilled any of the law. Now, that's God. Now, buddy, you can just argue that all you want to, and you can stand and say, yeah, but we worship on the Sabbath day, and because we worship on the Sabbath day, we got everything else straightened out. There's a group out there that thinks we're the ones wrong because we worship on Sunday. And they got the law completely fulfilled because they worship on Saturday. And the Bible tells us, the same Bible they try to get that rendered out of, is the same Bible that will tell them that no one can fulfill the law. So we better get our eyes off of us and off of our organization and off of our building and off of our church and off of our ordinances, and we better get our eyes on the one who established it all. Amen. Watch this. He says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with the judgment and with justice, from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Now watch this. He says, with judgment and with justice. Now let me ask you something. With our idea of sovereignty the church has developed, we make God a psychopath. He says one thing, but he's apt to do something else. That's a liar. That's a liar. Because we don't have answers, we make up answers. We say stupid stuff like God needed an angel. That's why he took this individual. Really? He took, he stole, he swiped. Hello? He decided that he's not going to fulfill his word in this one's life. He's going to change his word in this one's life, and he's going to make an angel. The Bible says that when he created us, that he made us a little lower than the angels, okay? Render the word there in angel, because he wasn't talking about an angelic being. That was King James servants afraid to put down there what it really meant. Did she put it up there? No, she's got something else. When he said he made us a little lower than the angels, that word actually translates out Elohim. Who's Elohim? Huh? God. That's one of the names, that's one of the derivatives names of God. In other words, he said, I made man a little lower than me. Not angels are servants. I call you friend. Hello. Folks, this is government. Amen. Can I tell you, when you know government, those of you who understand government, you want to operate in the government. You don't want to break the laws. I've noticed most law keepers are people who understand the government. I'd rather you be so zealous with the government. The one thing about the government is when you break the law in the government, things stop to, everything comes to a halt, right? You can operate in the government of Southern Illinois, but you break the law, go 75 miles an hour, and they pull you over, guess what? Everything's on a hold right now, right? And they're reminding you that you can't do that. I'd rather you live a life where God has to constantly stop you and say, hey, you can't do that. You're a little too zealous on this one. You got to slow down. Amen? It's like we want to put the caution on everyone, put a governor on everyone, and worry about breaking the law. I want to get you to a place where all you're worried about is getting closer to him. I want more of him. I'll knock all of you out of the way to get more of him. Amen? See, when you do that, then God has to slow you down and say, hey, you got to be kind. Amen? You got to be nice. Listen, these are your brothers and sisters, and I love them just as much as I love you. You got to be kind. But you know what? That's the kind of Christian that's going to get somewhere in this kingdom, in this government. You're going to receive the promises of God. See, if we can get the church to the place where we're receiving the promises of God, the world, we become salt again to the world. We become the flavor of the world. Because we're inheritors of the promise. They're looking for hope. The promise is wrapped up in hope. When we operate in the promise, we give somebody else hope that there's more to this life than just living and dying. Amen? More than just existing. Watch what he says here. Go with me to Luke 1 and 31 through 33. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. This is one that will never be defeated. This is the safest place you can invest your time in because it's never going to end. I want you to notice something else. Over in Malachi, let me see if I've still got that pulled up. Oh, I don't. Malachi chapter, I'll just go there real quick. I love technology. Malachi chapter 3, he says, for I am the Lord God, verse 6, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. I am the Lord God, I change not. Now this is the most, this gives you the most comfort and the most security in the kingdom of God, in the government of God, is that he never changes. We don't have to wonder what he's doing. When that all started somewhere back sometime, some pastor got up burying someone and called that individual, well, God called an angel. That's the biggest insult you can give to the human being. Because angels are appointed to us as servants. When you read in the Bible about servants and how to treat your servants, you need to read that really carefully because you skip over some of that because you think, oh, I don't have servants. I don't need to, you know, that's not really important to me. I'm poor. I don't have any servants. Oh, no, you're a child of the Most High and you have a fleet of servants. And you need to know how to treat them because if you don't treat them right, they don't respond. You got to talk to them like they're used to being talked to. Because they are the creation of God made for you. Amen. Amen. Not as a spoiled brat, as a child of God, responsible with this arsenal that is in your life that you can dispatch. Amen. Amen. A lot of times we don't receive our harvest because we don't send our angels out to get that harvest. Hello? So this is just kingdom stuff here, folks. Learning about the kingdom and how it operates. Let's go back to sovereignty real quick. I don't want to get off track here. When we think of sovereignty, it's very simple. I went to two different seminaries. And both of them said the same thing. I had a friend that went to Southern Baptist Seminary. And guess what? They said the same thing. So I will give you to you in layman's terms. God's sovereignty is he can do whatever he wants to. Is that pretty simple? He's God and you're not. All right? Now, let's not take that God can do whatever he wants to as that he can do anything because he said also in his word that he holds his word above his throne. Now, you have to understand that in government, I hold my word above my throne. In other words, if I relinquish my word, I relinquish my throne. What's the chances? Now, how many of you know the devil is spending his eternity with his eyes fixed on God, waiting for him to go back on his word? Because if he goes back on his word, he's got a chance for the throne. How many of you know God is never going to go back on his word? Because the Bible also tells us that he is God and he cannot lie. He cannot lie. Amen? So if he cannot lie and he holds his word above his throne, then we as children of God are to speak the word of God. And when we speak, we're representing the God of all creation, the Savior of our soul, and the Father of our existence. Then when we speak, we need to speak according to what he would say. Because we are here, the Bible says, in his stead, or instead of him, we're here. So when we blab off that God needed an angel, you're a black eye to the kingdom. That's what you are. Because that's not what God said. How dare you get up representing him and say something that he didn't say? Hello? See, this is where people get really upset with me, because I start talking about the goodness of God and they go, oh yeah, but you know, and all that's not all. And yes, it is. It's part of it. And for you to say that God doesn't want people to prosper, that's a black eye. You're not talking according to his will. He said, brethren, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Well, now you got to get your soul prospering. Don't even think about that. You're going to prosper your soul. Okay. Let's go there. Because you don't want to, but let's go there. I'm talking to preachers right now. Let's go there. Your congregation, do they know any more today than they did 10 years ago? Under your teaching, do they know any more than they did last year? Okay. Is their soul prospering? Who's the one who's supposed to? Who is? He lets us know as pastors that we are responsible for the influence of the soul. It is my responsibility to see to it that you know him more next year than you did this year. And that 5-10 years ago, you know him more today than you did then. The one thing I say here is I may not have all the stuff to draw a crowd, but the one thing we have here is you will not be the same 10 years from now. You will not be the same next year. We're going to try to make sure you're not the same tomorrow. Amen? It's a challenge to grow. It's something to go. It's, you know, this is, you know, this. If you come in and stand around, you're like one of them gym rats. You're just standing around trying to pick up a woman or pick up a guy. You're not in there working it out. And everybody can tell the difference when you step outside. Yeah, he goes to the gym all the time and he don't look like it. She goes to the gym all the time and she don't look like it. You can look at somebody's face and tell whether they go, amen? I mean, you can see it. Now, I'm going to tell you, when you get in the Word, people are going to see there's a difference in you. And the more you get in it, and I can tell you something here. I'm going to tell you something. This is just a freebie right now. Jesus said in one point, he said, this kind only comes out by fasting and prayer, right? I can tell you right now, the revelation that I have today of God's grace and God's love, do you know where that came from? Prayer and fasting. If you're not fasting and you're not praying, now I know right now I don't look like I fasted much, but there was a time my father-in-law was looking at me and going, Dean, are you eating? You know, he was concerned about me. But I didn't do that for him to see anything. I was just hungry for God, and I wanted to know him. I wanted this revelation. You can go in my office, and you can go through all my books. You can get all the names in my books, and you can get everything that I've ever studied. You can go to the seminaries I went to. You can go study abroad and do whatever you want to do and make that the. But I can tell you right now, if you don't fast and pray, the revelation is not coming. The revelation comes through fasting and prayer. Amen. What's fasting and prayer doing? Prayer is communication with God, keeping in communion with him. And that time period taught me that I'm in constant communication. I never stop my conversation with him, ever. It started almost 28 years ago, and it has not stopped since. My amen is so be it. My amen is not we're done now and I'll talk to you later. It is not a goodbye. It is not a hold. My amen is agreement with what we just talked about and what you revealed to me. I'm telling you, in prayer and fasting, that fasting will cause you to see things you didn't see before because the flesh is now out of the way. You shut him up. And his noise is no longer. And see, that's why I'm trying to tell you, folks, let's get back to his word. The promises of God are yes and amen. Amen to those that receive them, that know about them and can receive them. Amen? I told a lady yesterday, talking with her, I said, listen, here's the first thing you've got to understand. You're the property of God. Say it with me, I am God's property. Watch how you talk to me. Watch how you treat me. I'm not going to do anything about it because I don't have to. I'm God's property and he'll take care of it. Amen? Now that doesn't mean you get to sick God on everybody. God loves them. You know what the difference when love is baptized in you? You begin to look at that person and wonder, as you walk away, I wonder what's broken them. Father, what happened to them? Father, I just pray, Lord, that you help them find full circle and they find healing in their heart and a way to change and find you. That's how you don't worry about how they treated you because you know what? There's nothing they can do to you that God can't make up. Amen? The sovereignty of God, he's sovereign. And that means that he will do whatever he wants to, and he's told us what he wants to do. His desire is for you to live long and strong. I could take you from passage to passage where he is. He has had that promise to other individuals. His plan is for you to live long and strong. His plan is if a sickness and disease gets a hold of you, can I tell you why sickness and disease comes? How many would like to know? I mean, the answer. I'm going to give you the answer. This is why sickness and disease comes. And there's no other reason, okay? So I'm going to give you one reason why sickness and disease comes on you. I'm going to give you the same reason why poverty and lack comes on you. And I'm going to give you another reason why it's the same reason why that divorce comes and broken relationships. Do you want to know why you are ever broken? Do you want to know why you are ever sick in your health and why you have struggles with finances? Do you want to know the answer right now? Because the devil is a jerk. And you need to begin to have that in your mouth. When you've pulled every string you can trying to get your finances together and you can't find the ends to meet, you need to quit picking on your wife, and wife, you need to quit picking on him. You need to be looking at this thing going, you know what, the devil is a jerk. Because that's why I'm dealing with this. He's deceived me somewhere. I've listened to him somehow. I've been influenced by him somewhere. He's a jerk. I'm the child of God. And Father, I know there's an answer. Show me. Show me my way out. God is waiting for you to finally realize it's not him. He's not the one that made you sick. He's not the one killing you, and he's not the one that brought poverty. He's waiting for you to acknowledge, I know where this came from. Devil, you're a jerk. Father, how do I get out of this? And guess what? All of a sudden, God says, okay, now we got a clear line. We got a clear line of what side we're on here. We're not praying a prayer that's flip-flop. Amen? Now you're operating in the kingdom. Now you're operating in the kingdom. You're not operating in the law, because the law puts you in a position where you're not sure. Because under the law, you saw God do a lot of things. Under the law. You want to live under the law? Really? Under the law, ground opened up and people got swallowed. Under the law, fire came down. Under the law, a lot of stuff took place. Do you really want to live under the law? I want to live in the government of his peace. Amen? Amen. All right. You guys all right with that? All right. The promises of God. Say it with me. The promises of God are yes and amen. To me, who believes. Now, Father, help my unbelief. Now, that's a prayer I've prayed for all my ministry. I believe. Now help my unbelief. Now I've just said that. You never heard me say that before, but I've just now told you. We don't like to give away our secrets. We don't like to give away our who we really are. But you know what? If you stand around saying you don't have any unbelief in you, you're a liar. I'm done talking to you. You're a liar. You got some unbelief going on in there, right? Especially when you come up against something you've not faced before. Amen? I believe him. I know he's there. Help my unbelief. You know what happened to the man who prayed that prayer in the Bible? God, Jesus, the next moment fulfilled his request immediately. And guess what happened to the guy's unbelief? It was gone. Yeah. Amen. God bless you. Won't you just stand? Hug one another's neck. We love you. Thank you for attending High Point. Be blessed in Jesus' name.